Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Well, it's good morning from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and this is the fifth episode of Mind Your Feet. And today we're going to be talking about all sorts of things to do with intuition. And I have as my guest today the lovely Lisa Stallard, who specializes in helping people to activate that intuition. And until she joins us, I thought we'd just have a little talk about how we can actually start to listen to ourselves. And part of that could be about learning to be still. So, you know, you will always hear me come back to being still, being in the present moment. And it's a really important way to do that is to actually connect very simply to your feet. So part of the reason I call the show Mind Your Feet is because minding your feet is actually the simplest way that you can start to connect to the senses. Now, I've been involved with a number of people this week who've been talking to me about how busy they are, and as a result of how busy they are, how difficult they're finding it to work out what to do next, or in fact to just find out how they get back into flow or how they get things moving for themselves. And so my suggestion, which is one that I gave to somebody this morning, is a very simple one, which is connect to your feet, be in the present moment, and then allow the three most important things that you need to do to come forward for you. And you'll be surprised at just how quickly some of the fluff starts to run away and you're able to get back to what you need to do next. Now, I'm just going to say a very warm hello to Lisa. Lisa, are you there now?
I'm here, Helen, yeah.
Welcome to Mind Your Feet, and I'm so pleased that you can be a guest on our program today.
Thanks so much. It's so great to be here today.
Fantastic. Now, I was just letting the listeners know. Now, if you want to call in, listeners, you can call us on 646-716-7979. Because today we're going to be having a really inspirational episode where we're going to talk about how we learn to connect to and listen to our intuition. So I thought we might start, Lisa, if that's okay, by asking what you believe or what your definition of intuition is all about.
Intuition is really important. As we enter into the third evolution of the feminine, I think intuition, listening to our inner voice, is one of the strongest things that women can learn to do. Intuition is that still small voice that just talks quietly to you and gives you very wise advice. It's quite different to brain chatter that can be quite negative. It's just a quiet, strong voice that gives you good direction. I also find that intuition is something that doesn't go away. If you're meant to do something, you'll often get sort of told by yourself quietly to do something over and over again until you listen. And it's also
Sorry, I interrupted you. It does nag a bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does actually, but it's a lovely nag. It's like a sort of a mother's nag. It's a loving of an existence.
So tell me, is this available to men as well?
Yes, definitely. Men can definitely tap into their intuition, everybody can tap into their intuition, yeah.
I think a lot of men actually call it their gut feel, don't they? When we talk to men and they say, look, I've just got this really strong gut feel that this is, that such and such is happening. So they tend to see that possibly, and not being a man, I can't speak for men, but That is the impression, that where we're getting a little gentle voice, they're actually getting possibly more of a sensation.
That's so true. You do often hear men say, my gut feel on this is. And interestingly, you often hear men say that in regard to business as well. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about intuition, what do you think is important about it?
I think tapping into your intuition is really important because it just gives you a very calm and wise direction to take in your life. I take regular moments to listen to my intuition, sometimes several times a day. If I have a problem that's quite concerning, I will actually take time out to sit quietly and listen to my intuition, and I'll get some very calm, wise direction from doing that. So I think tapping into your intuition is so important rather than reacting. When you react to something, it can come a different place and can end quite badly, or bad result. Whereas if you take time out and just give yourself time to think about something, listen to yourself, you often get a much different type of advice, a much better sense of direction and strategy to take.
Yes, because it's actually interesting, isn't it? A lot of people associate intuition with woo-woo type things, where in fact intuition is something like our deeper knowing of what's right for us. And it gets covered up a little bit in the fluff of our day-to-day life. I'm on a bit of a roll with fluff today because I'm hearing a lot of people telling me how busy they are and how difficult it is to make decisions. So, Lisa, if you had somebody come to you who was actually literally in that kind of place, so they weren't sure where to go next and they weren't sure what to do, how would you get them to use intuition to help them?
Yeah, I guess there's two answers to that one. One is I just recently had a lady who's very well in her business but realises that she's got quite a bit of brain chatter and wants to come to me to learn how to meditate. So I'm going to teach her how to meditate and listen to her intuition in that way, and she can take those skills and use them at any time. But the other sort of more acceptable, I guess, way is just for me to actually listen to someone else talking. And as they talk, I just hold that space for them. And as they talk, they gradually find their own intuition and gradually solve their problem through talking it out. So I can either hold the space for them and listen to them, or I can teach clients how to meditate and have their own intuition and use it at any time.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think that our society has moved so far away from intuition? Because once upon a time, that would have been pretty much what everybody had to operate from. There wasn't the exposure to information media, etc., that there is today. Is it that there's too much noise getting in the way, or is it that people just simply have lost the awareness that they have that intuition in the first place?
I think the answer to that comes down to education. I think we're taught not so much preschool, but when we go to school, all of a sudden we're taught to do what the teacher tells us to do, learn the information that the teacher gives to us, learn that information and regurgitate back to them by rote. It's a fairly patriarchal way of doing things. It's very instructive and it's very directive and it's very, you listen to me, I'm the teacher, I'm the authority in the education system. This is what you need to learn and I want you to learn it and replay it back to me. So mm-hmm. I think it's very patriarchal society that we're living in at the moment on many levels, and I'm really excited that an emerging feminine evolution coming through, because it's going to be exciting to see that rebalance and to empower boys and girls, men and women, to listen to their own wisdom more, to act on their own wisdom more. I think you know, we'll see some really exciting results when people to listen to them, to themselves, and act on their own wisdom.
It's going to be exciting, isn't it? And it is exciting. I know in my own, for myself, and in the work that I've done in recent years, I can tell a real difference between when I'm thinking it out and when I'm hearing, listening to myself, and learning to understand the messages as they come through. And sometimes I can be just very much, don't do that, not happy. And other times it can be a really specific set of instructions about what would be a good step to follow. So can you tell us a little bit more about how people can get back in touch with their intuition? How do we go about this process of learning to listen?
Okay, yeah. Well, intuition is like any other muscle that you might use when you're working out at the gym, except it's an internal muscle. So the more that we listen to our intuition and tap into it, and then the more that we act on it, so it's a two-step process. It's about listening and taking action. The more you do that and you trust yourself, the stronger your intuition will be, the louder that inner voice will be, the more readily you'll hear it, and the more useful it will be. But what I'll do is I'll just take you through a few steps around tapping into your intuition. And we'll go from there. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's great.
Okay. All right. So what I do when I listen to my intuition... Okay, sorry. is first of all, I have the intention, the strong intention to listen to my inner voice. I can do that sitting at my desk while I'm working, or I can do it by going to a place where my body knows that's the place where I'm going to listen to my intuition. So it's like a symbolic place where I go, like a chair, a lounge chair that I sit on, and I know when I sit in that particular place, I'm ready to listen to my intuition. So it kind of automatically sends a message to my body that I'm ready to listen. And then I just quietly, and I sit in a gesture of I'm ready to receive information. And that gesture of receiving is so important. It's such a feminine quality to be able to receive. So just having that kind of open mind to receiving is very important. It's like, maybe I don't know all the answers. Maybe I just have to listen and be ready to receive the answers. So then I close my eyes and I breathe comfortably and I allow my thoughts to come. And if it's a very busy time or I'm feeling a little bit frazzled, then it might take a little longer for the thoughts to settle down. So I allow the thoughts to come and go and I watch them as you would clouds being sky. And I really love that analogy. That's how I was taught to meditate. I was taught that you separate yourself off a little bit from your thoughts by imagining that they're clouds just drifting across the sky. And it's a really calming visual to think about. And it's just a really nice way to give you a little bit of separation off from those thoughts and pull your mind down.
Then that is a lovely analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lovely analogy, isn't it? Because it is that very, it's almost like when we were kids and lying on the grass watching the clouds go by.
Yeah, it's lovely. It's very calming, isn't it? And very peaceful. Mm. And it's a lovely memory of childhood as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so what happens next?
So that gives you a little bit of separation off from those, you know, constant thoughts. And then as your thoughts calm down... The other lovely thing I was taught was start to see the gaps between the thoughts. So as the thoughts start to come down, or as the clouds sort of drift across the sky, start to see the bits of sky between the clouds. Start to see the blank spaces between the thoughts, and that's where the calm place is. Yeah, so as you get calmer and more settled and the brain chatter and the thinking calms down and you feel you're in a nice calm place, then the next thing that I do is I ask a question. So it could be a question about a business decision. It could be a client that you have a question about. It could be something about a relationship with your teenage son. I have a teenage son. Yeah, so anything that's on your mind, you know, that's concerning, you just ask that question and then just be open to receiving an answer. And I find that I almost always get an answer, and I almost always get a very good answer to the question that I've asked. So there are two other things. So when you get that answer to the question, be grateful, say thank you because you've been given something that you've asked for. And then the really important thing is to act on it, and that strengthens the intuition muscle when you act on the information you've been given. Yeah, so every time you act on your intuition, it strengthens your trust in yourself and allows your inner voice to become stronger and easier to hear. And then I find that over time, you just get this really nice, strong inner core. And even when you're, say, in a business meeting or whatever, because you've developed that intuition so strongly, you can hold your center and you're not as easily rocked by all the chatter that's going on around you from people. So it works really well.
That sounds fantastic. So the question that I have for you then is, how do you actually know that what you're hearing is the actual information that you want to know? How do we know that it's not just another part of our mind popping up with another answer? Because there will be some skeptics amongst us who say, oh, yes, that's all very well, but how do you know you're just not hearing what you want to hear?
Yeah, I think you can tell the difference because I think the answer that you get from your intuition is usually a very wise answer, and it's not reactive. You're not reacting in anger or, you know, it's not sort of a childish reaction. It's more of a mature response. So it's more a response than a reaction. It's a bit the trite answer. You just know. Now, I think you can tell the difference between a wise decision that's come from a quiet inner place and a more sort of ego-driven or childish response or a hastily made decision. Would you like to add something to that?
I think sometimes it can be a bit cheeky. Sometimes the response isn't necessarily what we expect, is it?
No,
I know for myself. I've had a few times where I've thought, well, come on, give me. I'd like to hear what I need to do for me right now, and sometimes it'll be not really what I'm expecting. So sometimes it will literally be go and have a rest or do something when I'm expecting myself to be able to make quite how do I rephrase that? When I'm expecting to have a solution that I can act on, and as I say that, I know straight away what is going on there, that the thinking mind is actually getting in the way of allowing the intuition to explain to us what it is that we need to be doing right now.
I really, really love that. I love that because I'm the same. I'm like, you know, I want to answer could be, as you said, the answer could be put your body first, give your body what it needs. That was an answer that came to me. I needed to rest. I needed to eat healthy, nutritious food. I was a bit run down, and the answer was nothing to do with the question. The answer was look after your body first. That was one of the answers that came when I had a quiet moment. So you're right. It can be a bit cheeky. It can often not give you the answer that you want, which is, I want the solution to this big problem in 5 minutes. So your intuition will often tell you that it's not going to give you that.
No, I'll tell you that you've actually got to do something else first. And I know the other day I was looking at some material that I'm putting together for another book I'm contemplating, and I was getting increasingly frustrated. And so I thought, no, I will do some meditation or do a pause, and the answers will come. And the answer was go for a walk. And but I've made time to walk to work, but no, go for a walk. You need to get out and just go for a walk. And
Yep.
Once I gave in to that, and it was actually the best possible response, because as I was walking, the ideas fell into place because I wasn't overthinking it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And I love, there's two things that I love that you said, once I gave in to the intuition.
Yes.
And that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
It's really about giving in, yeah. Yeah,
so,
and giving, I like that, yeah.
It is. It's actually a gift to ourselves as well to listen. And particularly when we've come out of an environment where taking that approach hasn't been, as you say, the way that you would normally do stuff. Now, I know that you came from a public relations background. How did you come to choose to work with the third evolution of the feminine?
That's a really good question, you know. I don't know exactly. It's part of my life's journey. It's part of my life's journey to find my inner feminine story, and it's been part of my life's journey in my late teens and early 20s to find my femininity, which has always been there, but I just had to let go of a whole lot of other protection around me, which was quite masculine, or to allow the feminine to emerge. So that's really been part of my life's journey. But then about maybe 6 months ago, I got this really strong message that I was to write a book, and all this information just poured into me about what was going to be in the book. And I haven't sat down and written it yet, but I was just told from somewhere, my intuition, that I had to write this book about the third evolution. And at that time, I didn't even know that the third evolution of the feminine existed. But I started asking questions and getting in touch with business leaders, women, female business leaders and female business coaches. And I actually hooked up with a lady in Alaska, of all places, she's amazing. Her name's Antiqualicia, and she's really leading the charge around this. She's a business coach and an intuitive coach and a healer. I had a fantastic Skype to her, and she said, it's called the third evolution of the feminine, and it's happening now, and that's what it's called. So it really all came from within me. It didn't come from anywhere else, and I've just really got to download that book, yeah.
It sounds like it, because otherwise your intuition is going to keep nagging you. And one of the things that I'm aware of is that when the intuition isn't heard, that's when we start to internalize and we get sick or we burn out. Because if we're not listening to intuition, which absolutely knows what's right for us, then it starts to act up a little, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And you find yourself getting quite in a bit of a frenzied state, and everything feels like it's sort of coming in on you, to come and slice. So, I need to make space for that book. That's my challenge at the moment, to get that nasty chunk of space happening.
Yes, having a book literally being printed as we speak, I can completely understand that challenge, because I suspect it challenges not just every aspect of our conscious mind, but also our intuitive approach, and also our unconscious mind, which is also working with us to try and get this message and all of the accompanying stuff that goes with that. But a very important role, and obviously something that's really important to share. So, Lisa, once you had landed on the name for what it is that you're interested, what happened? How did you use intuition to move you into a different space? Because I would imagine that PR generally is very much about action, but it's very much about very structured masculine, and it has also tended to be, it's been a world of men and women, but generally it's a very fast-moving world as well.
The PR world is highly masculine. It's all about chasing people, pinning people down, coercing them. And I actually had a very high powered PR job where I was answering the Premier's office and to the Minister for the Environment's office in the state government through a government department. I was running a marketing department on my own and doing ministerial media conferences and, you know, communicating backwards and forwards between the Premier's office and my director. And it was so masculine. And I actually, after 3 years, I actually burnt out quite badly. I got chronic fatigue. And that was the beginning of my, that was really the beginning of the end of the masculine and the start of the feminine. I moved to the Central Coast with my family, my husband and my young child. We had a beautiful house overlooking the water, overlooking the bay. And that became the beginning of my feminine journey. And it was such a relief to be there. So I started tapping into my creativity. I ran a counselling practice, which I loved. I sang jazz to the retirees in the local community hall. We put on shows, hung out with the mum and the young kids at a really beautiful feminine space. So from that time on, which was when I was 35, up until now, I still have 1 foot in the PR camp, but I have a big, big space for myself. It's very female, with my children in my home, working from home, and just loving that balance between the male and the female now.
So the kind of clients you work with, and listeners, you may, obviously you can call us on 646-716-7979. The kind of clients that you work with, Lisa, what sort of characteristics do we see with women? Are you looking at working with I know that you work with female leaders, and effectively, even though many women don't see themselves as such, I firmly believe that everybody has the potential to be a leader if they choose to do so.
Yeah, I guess it's a bit of a strong name. What I mean by emerging feminine leaders is really women that offer advice to other women and to men. So it's really women who are advisors and women who offer feminine wisdom to their clients. So it really could be any female coaches, anyone in that space that's an advisor, any females that are in that space, female advisors. And the other emerging women I see are the healers. So the real sort of the healers that could possibly act from a intuitive psychic angle, or the body healers, or your regular healers like your nurses or health workers. I also see them as really sort of strengthening in this new evolution. And I want to be there to walk beside these emerging women. You know, women like yourself, authors, I see as just because they're thought leaders. Any thought leaders or wise women that are there to offer advice, I'd love to walk beside those women and just really help them strengthen their feminine aspects and really give them to the world, because this is where the balance is going to come. We need, in the first world countries, we need to desperately rebalance. It's we're way too far into the masculine at the moment. Our earth is suffering terribly. Our children are suffering. Relationships are breaking down. Poor business decisions. And we need to really rebalance that with that lovely, wise, calm, inner feminine that's emerging. So I'd love to work with any women in a space where they're offering advice and just walk beside them and help them strengthen their inner femininity and rebalance.
So what sort of packages do you offer your clients? Because I'm sure you've got some lovely offer that you'd like to make to our listeners today.
Yeah, I'd love to offer a one-hour tap into your powerful feminine session. That's normally $149, but I'd love to offer it to listeners today for $80 for an hour, and just have a chat and just talk about how you can really tap into your inner feminine and why this is so important and highly beneficial.
And you can conduct that over Skype or over Zoom?
Yes, over Skype, yeah.
Fantastic. Because for our US listeners, that is an amazing offer for you, because I think $80 at the moment probably equates to about just over $50. So something to bear in mind, that if you would like to work with Lisa and start to become aware of how you can use your intuition, that's an excellent opportunity to do so. So, Lisa, what else would you like to share with us about intuition? Because, you know, we've talked in the past, and I know that you have a lot of understanding of it.
I think it's a very strong thing. I think intuition is a real strength. I think sometimes when people think of intuition, they think of something sort of weak and quiet and something to sort of not really rely on. But I think when you tap into your inner strength, into your intuition, it can make you quite a strong person. For example, if you're going through quite a difficult time, you know, maybe you're going through a divorce or something, and, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff happening, you know, around lawyers and husbands and stuff like that. Just really being able to hold that inner space, that calm inner space when there's a whole lot of turbulence around you, will just see you through the most difficult time. Or you could be in a situation with a new job, with a new client, and things are taking a while to settle down. Perhaps there's some office politics. And, you know, just getting really quiet and listening to your intuition will give you quite a different wise, higher perspective on the situation than coming from a perspective of, you know, poor me, why is this happening to me, you know, the little me. It kind of rises you up into that higher consciousness. If we can all start to tap into our higher consciousness, then it will raise the consciousness of our, you know, of our planet, really. It will raise the consciousness, and that's what we need to do in order to move forward. Yeah.
I think you've hit on a very important point, and that is that there's no victim in our intuition, and the voice that we're hearing isn't the one that's saying, as you say, poor me. It's actually saying, well, this is what you need to do. And it's actually also not comparing. It's, you know, it's not a little voice that says, oh, well, she's doing it better than you are. It's a voice that's saying the right thing for you to do is this particular action.
Yeah,
so I think
that
overall... Go on.
It's very empowering, yeah.
It is. It's actually exciting, isn't it, when you start to listen to it, because... I know that I was able to reject mine for quite a while, and it took quite a few taps on the shoulder before I started to listen. And now I know that when I don't listen, I actually find that I make some quite strange decisions at times. But also find that if we're listening to intuition, there's not the panic that goes along. As you were talking earlier about the times when we're making a stretch for whatever reason, and sometimes those stretches are not ones that we're making of our own choice, and divorce or some sort of financial hardship may be situations where, you know, the choice is made outside of us. And while part of us could go through the, well, what has happened that we've chosen that as a way forward to give us that stretch, I tend to take the approach, well, rather than working out what's caused it, it's about how we can deal with it. And I know, again, for me, that I, like yourself, for a long time moved between my previous career, which was in the resource sector, and my coaching. It was only when I actually wrote my book that I started to realise that my voice came out loudest and clearest and with least effort when I was either writing, creating something, or in this particular case, on radio and interviewing other thought leaders. But it took a long time before I realised, because I realised that I had all sorts of old conceptions of what that might mean.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I like that you mentioned that your inner voice comes out quite strongly in creativity. So anything to do with writing, radio, your intuition will come out quite strongly. And I liked it that you said that when you felt like there was a bit of a block in your creativity, your intuition guided you to take a walk, and that taking a walk freed up your creativity in a different way. Sometimes if we're a writer and it's not working, sometimes you get the idea, oh, I just feel like, you know, getting out my Steal Your Mind colouring in book and colouring in something, and that's taking the creativity to a different place and freeing it up again where it doesn't feel pressured. So creativity is a really good one for tapping into your intuition. And I love that you said that you found your voice then. You found your voice. And that's really inspiring that you found your voice while you were writing. And that was just where you found your strong inner core, and that gave you the momentum to really do what you wanted to do. So thank you for sharing that, because it's such a courageous thing to write. But as you said, it gives me the courage and the inspiration, because I'm sure that you do find your voice when you're writing a book, and it's such a powerful thing to do.
Oh, I think so, because you have to go to the core of who you are as you write. And sometimes many a writer that I've heard says, I had to go to hell and back. And the hell, I think, is that process of actually, it's a metaphorical hell of having to actually trust yourself and understand that what you have to say is actually a really meaningful thing and is worth writing about. In my particular case too, as a child I always wanted to be Dr. Doolittle, because I was quite convinced that Dr. Doolittle, even though it was a movie character, it was completely accurate in that animals could talk and each one had its own language. And for me it was actually coming across the archetypal work and understanding the archetypes that each person has in their own unique combination, which also gives them that voice. And archetypal work in conjunction with intuition can be a very, very powerful combination, because the intuition will support the person as they learn to work with more their archetypes more effectively. So, Lisa, I know that you have to leave us in a few moments because you've got another appointment. So can you just give us some, you know, your top three tips for connecting to intuition, and then we might get you to reiterate your offer to our listeners.
Okay, the top three tips for listening to your intuition, and this is the answer that I get most frequently when I ask my intuition what to do. The first very one and the most important one is to be still. So I get told to be still very often by my intuition.
Right. Just, yeah.
Just, be quiet, shut up.
Yeah, I said they were cheeky. It can be, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit like what you'd tell a child to do, you know, when they're getting a little bit, you know, anxious or overwhelmed. You just say, calm down. So it's a bit like that, be still. So that's the first one that I get told frequently, be still. Make some time for your intuition. When you are feeling the most overwhelmed and the most frenzied, it's an old adage, but when you're feeling the most overwhelmed and frenzied, that's the time to stop and listen. That is the time to stop and listen. I can't remember the exact phrase. Yeah, it's when the wheels are spinning so fast that it's like this, you're getting buried in the sand. You know, the wheels are spinning, but you're not going anywhere. The car's just getting buried deeper and deeper into the desert sand. That's the time to stop. And just making a space to stop and listen and really sort of honouring that. Just going, I am going to spend the next 10 minutes to just listen to my intuition and just honour that and be still and really listen. And then when the thought comes, please act on the message that you're given. Please act on it, because you will look back and you might not know why you're doing it. You might have no idea why you're being told to do something. But when you do it and you look back, you think, I am so glad I took that action on that Thursday, because on the following Tuesday this happened. And if I hadn't done that thing on the Thursday that my intuition told me to do, I would have been in trouble. So just act on your intuition and trust it, and then the muscles will build.
Fantastic. That's great. So once more, would you like to reiterate your package for us?
Yeah, I'd love to offer a 1 hour tap into your powerful feminine session for $80 Australian, which I think you said equates to about $50 US, and I can connect with you on Skype. Helen, is there any other information you need me to give to the listeners about connecting with me?
If you could just let them know how they can best contact you, so Facebook or web whichever way is the easiest way to find you.
Yeah, on Facebook I have a page called Inspiring Females. And I'd love to see you on Inspiring Females. I'd love you to like my page, Inspiring Females. So really that's probably the best place to message me is actually via my Facebook page. You can leave a message on that if you like, or you can just message me via the Facebook once you've liked my Facebook page. And my name is Lisa Stallard as well. I also have a personal page, Lisa Stallard, on Facebook.
Fantastic, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and talking to us all things intuition. I, for one, am inspired to spend more time listening to mine, even though I know it's a bit cheeky. But anyway, it tells me to slow down, which is frustrating. People who know me know I'm not really a slowing down type of girl. But thank you so much for joining us today, and I'm sure our listeners have really appreciated your tips and also your information about the emergence of the third evolution of the feminine. So listeners, please contact Lisa at her Facebook page and take up her offer, because it's a really great one. So thank you, Lisa, and enjoy the rest of your day.
I'll just give a full link to the Facebook page. So it's www.facebook.com/inspiringfemales. That's one word.
Fantastic. Thanks, Lisa.
Thanks so much, Helen. Lovely talking to you. Thank you.
See you.
Bye.
So, listeners, that's the basis of our show for today. But I'm going to finish off by bringing you back to an approach to busyness that I started off the show with, and which is something that you're going to find in my book called Mind Your Feet, which is going to be available for pre-order later this week. And you can find it at www.mindyourfeetthebook.com or www.helenryan.com.au. So what I would like to suggest is that when you're overwhelmed with busyness, as Lisa suggested, it's really important to tap into your intuition. And one of the most effective ways to do that is to be still. And in my particular case, I suggest that we actually connect to our feet, because our feet are also connected, obviously, to earth. It's a really good way to get ourselves earthed and still. And from that place, look at your list of things that you have to do and choose five of them. And of those top five, choose three. And once you've chosen those three, once again, pause. Again, connect to your feet. And it only has to be for 30 seconds or so. And then go with the one of those three that presents itself as the thing that you need to do first. Now, instead of doing the job the way that you've always done the job, so it might be sending an email, or it might be very simply deciding to sweep your kitchen floor. Instead of doing it the way you've always done it, what I would like to suggest is that you sweep that floor or write that email as if for the very, very first time. And that means that you pay attention completely to your task. And as you pay attention to the task, you'll notice that the job gets done. And I want you to focus on that job until it's complete, till you've clicked the send on to send off your email, or you've actually swept the floor and picked up the dust. And then connect to your feet once more, and then go and look at your list and choose the next item. What you'll find from this process is that, first of all, your intuition is giving you the guidance as to what is the next step, what needs to be done right now in the present moment. The other thing I find is that once we've practiced this particular approach for a period of time, you'll find that your list of things to do, while it may be quite a lengthy list, the items that you choose and act on, again at the recommendation of your intuition, will be the items that will create the most effective use of your time. And the other thing that you'll find is that by concentrating on those activities as if for the very first time, the job gets done really quickly and it gets done properly. And the reason for that is that by doing this as if for the very first time, you're actually in the moment, you're completely in the present, and you're giving it your full and undivided attention. When you're giving it your full and undivided attention, you can't be worrying about what you should have done, who else you should be calling, what else needs to be done, what you're going to do next, what you're going to even eat for dinner, whether you ought to have a cup of tea or coffee. You're focused on the job. So you'll find that the job itself gets done, and it gets done properly, and with that comes a sense of reward and a sense of satisfaction for the job well done. Then the break between them allows you to pause, and it allows for the opportunity to select the next thing, which is the right thing to do in this moment. I began using this approach several years ago, and I found that the times when I am the busiest, the time that the effort that it takes to put that list of everything I can possibly think of that I need to do up, and I use a whiteboard so I can wipe it off that whiteboard later, which is also for me quite a sense of achievement. But I allow my intuition and I allow that pause to be the things that decide for me what I need to do next. Now, for sure, from time to time, because we do live lives where we're interacting with other people, you might be interrupted by a phone call and or something else that needs your attention. It may be a child that needs to be looked after immediately. And by all means, that's important that you attend to that particular situation. But as you attend to it, make sure that you also are sure that you're connected to your feet so you can actually feel your feet on the floor. Nothing else is required, or the skin on the air, the air on the skin or the face or something like that, connecting to the senses. So you take the phone call and you give it your full undivided attention. As Lisa suggested to us, make a point of really concentrating on listening to the other person. Because by listening to the other person, you are giving them your undivided attention. And sadly, in today's world, very few people actually are recipients of undivided attention. And so they really appreciate and respect you for the fact that you will make the time to listen to them. Much as I appreciate that you take your time to listen to me and to my show. And that becomes a really effective way of dealing with overwhelm, and particularly in situations where there is a stretch. So if you're moving into a new job or you're moving into a new aspect of a job, if you're going through the process of moving home and all of the things that come with that process of packing up, cleaning up, moving, changing addresses, all of those sorts of things, all of those different aspects can be addressed by using this particular technique. And I'd be very interested if any of you have any feedback about this, and you can contact me with that feedback either by calling in or sending me a message. I can be contacted at on Facebook at Helen Ryan or at helenryan.com, which is my business Facebook page. And at my soon-to-be-released new website, so you'll be seeing www.helenryan.com appearing very soon, which will have links to both the show and also to the information about the book. Now, to talk just a little bit more, for the last few minutes that we have, I'd like to introduce Mind Your Feet, the book. It had been hoped that we would have Mind Your Feet, a step-by-step blueprint for a life well lived, well before we had Mind Your Feet, the radio show. But as is the way of the world, that was not to be. So Mind Your Feet Radio came into existence, and as we know, we're at the end of episode 5. So So soon to follow is Mind Your Feet, the book. And I attempt to do in Mind Your Feet what Andy Warhol did for art. So if I wanted to take mindfulness and take it out of the mysterious or out of the association that it was only about a meditation and apply it as a way of doing and living life and enjoying and experiencing being in the present moment. And after I had written some chapters about that, I came to the conclusion that I actually needed to give a blueprint of how to use it in a more holistic approach. And so I adopted the Vedic way of action, which is very much an allowing of the moment and of the intuition to take us through the steps that would help allow us to manifest the things that we want for a life that for us it classifies as a life well lived. And obviously for everybody that's going to be a different thing. Some of us will aspire to be media personalities, super coaches. Some of us aspire to be just really good mums, loving partners. Some of us want to be home renovators, gardeners. We all have a range of different aspirations. Most importantly, though, for me was the ability to show that it is possible to change from a life where we're always at effect to a life where we're at cause. And the way that that was possible was through the process of following these steps. So first of all, being aware of what we're attached to and then working out what to do about it. So you'll find that the second chapter of my book is actually called The Still Pill. And as you know from previous episodes, where it is at all possible, I'm fully in favour of using mindfulness rather than some sort of medication to combat panic, anxiety, depression, turmoil. So I introduce you to The Still Pill and how to use The Still Pill, which is basically about using being in the moment, so using practice of mindfulness, stillness, pausing, to listen to your intuition and to listen to all the impulses that arise, the bright ideas, and from there to formulate those bright ideas into something that can be used to take you forward, and whether that is how you're going to go off to an afternoon with your in-laws or whether it's about how you're going to get that new job, it's all about the same process. So I look forward to being able to report to you in the next couple of weeks that the book is in print. And if you would like your copy, of course, it will be fantastic if you contact me via the page and order your copy, because you'll receive a signed copy and there will also be some lovely little gifts to go with it. So that will be coming up just in the next few weeks. So I'm going to finish off just by, again, bringing us to the present moment. And I'm going to ask that you just pause and connect to your feet and notice your feet. Many of us spend our lives not even thinking about our feet, apart from maybe that our shoes are tight or, you know, we've got a blister if we've walked too far. So just allow yourself to connect to your feet, feel your toes. If for some reason it's too painful to connect to your feet or it's not something that works for you, you may choose to notice the air on the face and hands or the clothing on the skin. And just allow yourselves to feel that for a moment. And just enjoy being in that stillness. And then just to follow up on Lisa's suggestion, you may like to just ask of yourself a question for some internal guidance. And know that that is your intuition speaking to you. And what I'd like to suggest to you today is that you act on whatever that message is and trust it. And use it as a starting point to really go out and enjoy your day and enjoying being in the present moment. So that's going to be it for me today. Once again, it's been a real pleasure to have the opportunity to present Mind Your Feet. It was lovely to have met and talked with our guest, Lisa Stallard. And I'm going to now close off. Mind your feet, everybody. Until next time, thank you for listening.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.